ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today we're reading from the glorious Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, which is entitled Transcendental Knowledge, verse 34. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. These self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Please repeat after me. Just try to learn the truth
by approaching a spiritual master.
Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharman tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination of spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual knowledge. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one should also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward a disciple. Therefore, when a student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect.
Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuram vritamena tasmai sri guru vena. was born into the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge and offered my respect to the dead as empty.
So today being the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, thought it would be appropriate to speak something about the Guru Tattva, the importance of accepting a spiritual master, and about the position of Srila Prabhupada himself. Recently, I had the experience of finding out why it is important to have a spiritual master. I was on the internet and I came across a website dedicated to Indology. And somebody asked the question, why is it that in the Vedic culture the worship of Indra worship and the worship of demigods stopped and then Krishna Bhakti started? And then there was all kinds of speculation from academic scholars, as my godbrother called them. They called it academic scholarship. That they make absurd inquiries. They're blind, totally blind. They think that because they know Sanskrit, therefore they know everything. So they had so many ideas about how the Krishna legend, quote, legend became popular. So, at first, my heart was filled with anxiety. Nobody asked this question before. Why is it that Vedas, which are all about sacrifices and this and that, nobody's doing that. Who's doing all these Indra Yagnas? Nobody's doing Agni Yagnas and Agni Stoma, Hotra, all these different, nobody's doing these Jyotishtoma Yagnas. Nobody's doing that anymore. So at first I was thinking, well, maybe these scholars, they have something. They're onto something here. But then, as I was, chanting my japa, different, because I just stayed in the back of my mind for a long time. It bothered me. And so many things that Srila Prabhupada said, coming from the Guru Vakya, and from the Rishi Vakya, our different acharyas, they said, what they said came into my mind and cleared up all these doubts. For example, the Sanatana Goswami explained that the purpose of the Vedas is to bring one home back to Godhead. But the Vedic process is a slow, gradual process. Birth after many lifetimes, bahu janmanam ante. It takes a long time. After many, many births, bahu janmanam ante, nana van mam prapanjate, vasudevam sarumiti, samahatma sudurlabha. That at the conclusion of many births, one who has acquired knowledge, he understands that Vasudev is all that there is, and such a great soul is very rare. So it's a rare thing. And Sanatana Goswami explains that the Vedas are meant for everyone, because everybody is meant to go back home, back to Godhead, eventually. There may be different position in the queue, but that's the goal. Krishna is very merciful. He's created this whole system. But because people have various interests, the Vedas speak on those topics to greater and less proportion. The Vedas speak mostly about artha. And then they speak a little bit less about kama, a little bit less about dharma, a little bit less about moksha, and least of all, they speak about bhakti. Because, as Krishna explained, out of many millions of men, hardly one is interested in the truth. And out of such millions of men, hardly one knows me in truth. So it's only a topic that very few people are interested in. So it's not going to be on the front lines, front pages of the Vedas, Krishna Bhakti, surrender to Krishna. Not going to be. It's a gradual process. by doing all these different things, eventually people come to this conclusion. But the Vedas are not historical. Not so historical. The academics, scholars, they have they think that the Vedas are some historical texts and they're in some sort of a linear progression. Historical linear progression, because of that's the way that, because they're blind, they think this way. They don't understand that the Vedas are eternal. Time cycles are, the time is in cycles, goes in cycles. Yugas, Mahayugas, Kalpas, Mahayugas, Manvantaras, Kalpas, Pardanas, and then the life of Lord Brahma. So, in one day of Brahma, there's 14 Manvantaras. One day of Brahma is 434,320,000,000 years. So in one day, there's 14 Manvantaras. And in the 7th Manvantara, in the 28th Mahayuga of Kali, not Kali, Krishna appears. Only in one day of Lord Brahma, Krishna will appear. Right? So therefore, he's going to make the headlines. All the itihasas, the Puranas, they're going to specifically mention Krishna. And Krishna himself, in this Gita, he himself decries the worship of demigods. All through the Hari Vamsha, the Mahabharata, Krishna becomes the, because he has just appeared. The only once in the whole life, in the whole day of Brahma, he comes. Therefore, he comes into the spotlight. Therefore, everybody else fades into the background. And just a few days ago, we discussed why the Indra Yajna was stopped by Krishna himself. He himself stopped the Indra Yajna, because the residents of Vrindavan wanted to worship Indra, and Krishna stopped it. Said, "You worship Govardhan Hill instead." So these scholars couldn't figure this out because they didn't have a guru. They didn't have a guru. They didn't have someone who is a tattva darshana. They are just simply with their tiny little brains. They are trying to figure out the plan of Krishna. With their tiny little brain, they are trying to figure out Krishna's plan. Krishna's... So, we should have mercy on them. They are very unfortunate people. They think that because they have PhD, that they are very important. But as my godbrother Dandavir Maharaj pointed out, PhD stands for Perpetual Humility Deficit. Because of their pride, they can never understand. Therefore, they are Mayaya Aprita Jnana. They cannot understand. They cannot understand. And that's something which is very straightforward. Any devotee, just by a little bit of thinking back on what the guru has said, they can understand this. And that's only one. Just after a little bit of contemplation, I came to this conclusion based upon what Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas have said. But they can't figure this out. What to speak of other Vedic literatures, such as some of the Pancharatrika texts. I was a couple of years ago, I was in Sri Rangam, and I was speaking to one of the senior archikas, and he was telling me how the main Pancharatrik text which they use to worship Ranganath Swami, you can have 10 PhDs in Sanskrit and you'll never understand it unless you have a guru, because it's all in codes. It may describe some, he described how, for example, waking up the deity. There's a little story is there, but the guru explains that this phrase means you should wake the deity like this, you should go like this. But if you just read it, you think it means something totally differently. But the guru explains to the disciple that this actually means, this actually explains the procedure of how you wake up the deity. But no one can understand it unless his guru has explained it to him. So this is the importance of having a guru. Without the guru, you are finished. I mean, a satguru. There are so many other gurus, but a guru has to come in the guru parampara. As Krishna explains earlier in this chapter, the importance of the guru parampara. And Srila Prabhupada also explains. So, in our parampara, though there is diksha, the precedence is on shiksha. Because if you read in the list of our Guru Parampara, they are, not all of them are related by Diksha, but they are all related by Shiksha. For example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually rejected his Diksha Guru. But he accepted Jagannath Das Babaji as his Shiksha Guru. And even his Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna accepted Krishna as his Guru. Was there a fire sacrifice? Did he get Diksha? Did Narada Muni give Diksha to Prahlad? No, he gave Shiksha to Prahlad. Did Narada Muni give Diksha to Dhruva? No, he gave Shiksha. Narada Muni is the guru of practically everybody. I don't recall any place where he has a fire sacrifice going and he gives them, he gives everybody Shiksha. Because Shiksha is the more important thing. Of course, the Shiksha guru can also be your Diksha guru. As in my case, Srila Prabhupada is my Diksha guru and my Shiksha guru. But for everybody in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is their Shiksha guru, not their Diksha guru. May not be. Some people are claiming that, but they're wrong. So Srila Prabhupada's position in ISKCON as the guru, he's the acharya. He's the giver of diksha to his disciples and shiksha to his grand disciples and to everybody. And today is Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. Physically he disappeared, but his followers who embody his shiksha are still here. His books are still here. And even more importantly, because the books of other acharyas are present, but in the case of Srila Prabhupada, his spoken words are still present. Imagine if we had thousands of hours collected, discussions, conversations, lectures of Ramanujacharya. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Or of Madhvacharya, or of Jesus Christ, or Muhammad. They're not present. They don't have. But we do have over 1,000 hours of the words, spoken words of Srila Prabhupada in recorded form. Srila Prabhupada called it his separated energy. One time he was on a morning walk. He was on a morning walk with some disciples, and they were asking Srila Prabhupada to explain what separated energy meant. So they had two tape recorders were with them because of backup, So Prabhupada said to one of the persons, "Play back the tape recording." And so you hear everybody standing there and we hear Prabhupada speaking. Prabhupada says, this is my separated energy. This is my separated energy. So, it's the energy of Srila Prabhupada as it's found in his books or in his tapes is very profound in its ability to transform people. One time, Srila Prabhupada commented, somebody had said how they had been preaching. And Prabhupada, I don't know what was the reason he said it, but he said, what is the good of your 5 minutes of preaching? Give them a book. Simply give them a book. This will have a much more profound effect. And there were countless stories about people's lives who have been changed by Srila Prabhupada's books. And I'm going to give a couple of examples. Just to give an indication. This actually is a letter that was written to me by somebody who I gave a book to. So this is a lady Her name is Camille Scipione. She wrote to me June 20th of last year. The subject line was, "Thank you." She writes, "Dear Shyamasundar Das," and I was surprised. She says, "Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada." And, you know, Hare Krishna. She says, "Nearly 3 years ago, I ordered some astrological consultations from you to find out where I should go to find my guru and spiritual path. Choosing you at random and not caring much that you were, quote, in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Govinda, end quote, whose names I did not understand anyway, I discovered that my birth time was actually 7 minutes later than the one I gave you, so I didn't relocate, but pondered your words as you warned. Beware of bogus gurus. In addition to the protection you gave me verbally, you rendered more service with the gift you sent, Bhagavad Gita as it is. I had taken it out of the public library almost 10 years ago while trying to learn about yoga, but returned it due to my heart being bitter because of her Mayavadi leaning before, and not wanting to absorb Srila Prabhupada's purports. I went back to reading the Mayavadi type of Gitas and other similar literatures, remaining very unhappy and lost. Upon receiving Bhagavad Gita as it is from you in September 2004, I kept it on my bedside and read a little each night for almost 2 years before seeking out devotees. In the early summer of 2006, I began chanting the Maha Mantra on my own. Then on August 15th, I decided it was now or never. I needed to hear this mantra chanted from the lips of pure Vaishnavas, as Srila Prabhupada had advised. I found out that there was a center on 26th 2nd Avenue in New York City, and I took a 2-hour train ride alone, not knowing what to expect. Arriving sweaty and with a rapid heartbeat, I was greeted by two brahmacharis and went to sit down for kirtan for the very first time. It is difficult for me to describe what happened to my body and mind while first hearing the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare from these devotees. All my pain and fear disappeared, and I felt I was being held in the arms of someone who loved me very, very much. I continued attending temple programs, and when asked how I came there, I tell devotees it was because of a gift from you. I am indebted to you, Shyamasundar, because it was your mercy combined with that of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada that arranged for Bhagavad Gita to be put into my hands again, this time with the intelligence to understand and pursue Krishna consciousness. Your aspiring servant, Camille." So here, almost 30 years after Srila Prabhupada left, he made a devotee. He made a devotee. Here's another very inspiring letter. Actually, it was Shivaram Swami. This was his offering on Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Day. This just indicates how Srila Prabhupada is present in his books. So Shivaram Swami writes, "Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your divine lotus feet. All glories to you on the celebration of your appearance day." So this is his disappearance day. But he's not disappearing. "While planning a composition of your offering, I was also attending to my regular correspondence. One letter stood out amongst the others. I enclose it here, translated into English for your pleasure." So this is a letter that was written to Shivaram Swami. "Dear Shivaram Swami, Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I hope you do not mind my writing to you. I have never written to a spiritual master before. You do not know me. My name is Bhaktin Dora and I live in Pécs, Hungary. I am 14 years old and I live at home with my mother and older sister. In 1992, I went to the Hare Krishna festival with a friend. I was not very interested, but I enjoyed the chanting and the dancing at the end. After it was over, I bought a book. So she was 12 years old at the time. I bought a book, The Science of Self-Realization. I don't know why. Generally, I never read. I think it was because of the chanting. I took the book home and I cannot remember what happened to it. One day my mother found it and was very angry with me. She thought that I was reading this kind of thing. You see, our family members are very strict Catholics. They thought Krishna consciousness was some kind of brainwashing. Actually, I wasn't reading the book. I had forgotten all about it. Somehow, it just appeared. Anyway, my mother was going to throw it away. My grandmother, who was 68, was in the kitchen at that time. She lives in the apartment upstairs. She came in and took the book. She looked at it and scolded me in a very heavy way. I thought that would be the end of it. I did not mind it so much as I was in a lot of Maya at the time. About a week later, I overheard a conversation between my mother and grandmother. Granny was saying that this was not an ordinary book. She said that what Srila Prabhupada was saying is just what Jesus Christ said and that Krishna is God. I was surprised. She said that we should listen to what Prabhupada said and chant Hare Krishna because that was the religion for this age. There was a lot of talk about how Christianity was no more and no one was following the Bible, but what Prabhupada said was pure and perfect. Things really took a turn from there. One day my grandmother visited the Namahata center here and began to chant on beads. She also began to buy Prabhupada's books one by one. She was spending all of her pension on buying what she called the beautiful holy Bhagavatam. Sometimes she could only afford to eat potatoes, but she kept buying the books. The devotees even came to her flat and helped her to set up an altar. When I went upstairs, they had taken all the pictures down and there were Krishna pictures everywhere. That was really the beginning. One night Granny had a dream about Prabhupada. Something really happened to her then. I don't know what it was, but she began to get very enthusiastic. Next she began to get the whole family involved. I mean, not just me and my mother and sister, but her two sons, their wives and six children, as well as all her brothers, sisters and relatives. Before, she used to carry a Bible with her and quote Jesus Christ. Now she had a Bhagavad Gita and quotes the good Lord Prabhupada. She became a veritable transcendental terror. Everyone in the family has to chant at least one round a day. In addition, Granny made everyone become a vegetarian, including my dog. My dog had to become a vegetarian. She made her dog a vegetarian. And we offer our food to a picture of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. Now I'm also getting out of Maya and chanting and reading a little also. Where I go to school, my friends inquire about Krishna as they know I am a devotee. My whole family goes to the Namahata, all 16 of us. During the Christmas marathon, we all try to distribute Prabhupada's books. Even Granny would take books with her to the market and sell them to the vendors. Everyone is afraid of her because she is fearless. They all think she has gone crazy, but she doesn't care. Now she is saving to go to Budapest to see the newly installed deities. She has heard that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to Hungary and they're being worshipped there by the devotees. She says she wants to see God just once in this life. At this year's Hare Krishna festival, she was speaking to the guests after the kirtan. You must remember my grandmother because she came and sat beside you and asked you so many questions. At the end, when you stood to leave, she even kissed your hand, remember? I also want to ask a question, but I was shy. Could I please? Could I please ask you now? I hope you don't mind, Maharaj. I want to know what kind of man Srila Prabhupada was. He must be so dear to Krishna to spread his message all over the world. What are these books that changed my family so much? How is it possible that he can speak so powerfully through them? You must feel very fortunate to be his disciple. How great a man he is. Sometime when my granny chants in front of a picture of Krishna, she cries. How does Prabhupada do that? I want to cry like that too. Granny dreams of Prabhupada and sometimes she talks to his picture. Although it says on the cover of the book, he passed away. Is Prabhupada really dead? Or is he still alive? Do you think I can meet him someday? I am sorry that I have gone on so. I would like to be a good devotee one day and help you and Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. Please, could you answer my questions? So Shivaram Swami continues. Prabhupada, what is this brand of mercy that you gave this old lady I just barely met that you never gave to me? She never met you, never saw devotees. She's not even initiated by you. What is this kindness that you bestow upon her that you do not give to me, your, quote, fortunate disciple? What am I referring to? It is just this. After having come in contact with you for just a few months, what inspiration did you give this granny in that dream? What did you move in her heart that made her change her life in its final days, that made her turn against the current of banality and tradition and strike out alone to change her world? No sympathy, no association, no institutional support, boldness I do not possess, changes I do not have the strength to make. Srila Prabhupada, I want to know what is it that you say that you say to her in front of your picture when she talks to you? I have so many pictures. You do not speak to me through them. Although I worship deities daily, I continue to see them as made of marble and wood. How is it that this old lady has the conviction that God has come to her country? Why have you not given this such a vision to me? Where did she get the conviction that a pilgrimage to the city capital would yield the final goal of her life? One last thing, Srila Prabhupada. How is it that when Dora's granny chants in front of a picture, she cries? She cries. How do you do that? I want to cry like that too. When will you give me that mercy? Srila Prabhupada, this is one letter from one girl who came in contact with you. How many millions of such souls are there who have yet to write, who are directly experiencing your mercy daily, who read your books with implicit faith, whom you talk to in dreams and pictures, whose lives you change abruptly and reward with tears when chanting the holy names? How many people across the boundaries of rules and regulations, by the strong boat of your mercy and practice and taste Krishna consciousness in the realm beyond logic and argument? I think these people are meeting you every day. How will I acquire this good fortune? When will you one day bestow some of this special mercy upon me that you give to them? If I am not to acquire it directly, then even after begging for it, then I will serve such souls who have reached your mission. I will offer them prasadam, give them your books and show them how to practice. I will chant with them. Thus I can hope to gain a new perspective of your greatness, even though I may never fully understand it. Your insignificant servant, Shivaram Swami. So, as the little granddaughter said, she thought that Srila Prabhupada was dead.
It says in the books he passed away, but obviously Srila Prabhupada is very much present in these books. Do you want to hear another one? This was this happened in the early 80s, the 1980, 81, something like that. It was during the Christmas marathon in Paris. The devotees were doing book distribution, and the technique that they would use is that they would get onto a train just before it left, distribute books, collect, and get off the train. So this one young Mataji, very delicate, beautiful girl, she got on the train, she approached this one man and handed him a Krishna book. He took one look at it, he became very angry, and to her surprise, he tore the very strong, he tore the Krishna book in half, threw it on the ground, and started jumping on top of the Krishna book. She began to cry. She was just so shocked, she began to cry. Then the man grabbed her by the hair, dragged her to the exit of the train, and physically threw her off the train onto the platform. She fell, she was bleeding, all the devotees came, she had fractured her jaw, she was bleeding, the devotees were cursing her, were cursing this man, you know, cursing this man for doing this to this girl. Though she was hospitalized, 3 days later she was back distributing books. The man was going from Paris to Madrid. He was a banker. When he got to his home, he showed the book to his wife and explained everything that happened. You know, how these nonsense people were there, you know, just saying all kinds of things. And he put the book on the table and he went to the office. His wife went shopping. The maidservant came to the house. She saw this book on the table. She thought she didn't know the story. So she sort of put the book back together as good as possible and she put it in his bookshelf of his office. About a year later, this man's life was struck by major tragedies. His wife, who he dearly loved, was killed in a head-on collision, instantly killed. His daughter ran off with a drug addict, and his son also became a drug addict. So he was completely, his life was, he was on the verge of suicide. So he was thinking what to do. So he started looking for the Bible, to reach for the Bible, as people do. In times of when they realize they are not in control. So he started looking, and he happened to see the Krishna book on the shelf. So he picked it up off the shelf and he began reading. And he was reading about how Vasudeva was explaining to Kamsa how about the process of reincarnation, how when the worm, you know, the inchworm has its foot in one place before it puts it down, and then it goes, you know, the soul transfer from one body to the other. And this somehow gave this man solace that his wife actually hadn't died. And she had, you know, she'd gone through reincarnation. So this way the man just started just reading continuously. And he didn't, though he was the president of the bank, he didn't go to work for 1 week. He just stayed and read the whole Krishna book. Right? And after reading the Krishna book, he looked in the back of the book and he saw the address of the Paris temple. So he called up the Paris temple and inquired, and he found out that in his home city, Madrid, there was also a temple. So then, one day, he shows up at the temple. And the new temple president opens the door and he finds this man dressed in a expensive three-piece suit, on his knees crying, begging for forgiveness. The person didn't know what he's talking about. He's saying, please forgive me. I didn't know what this girl was doing. I beat her very badly. She was trying to, you know, she was trying to save us like this. And you know, the temple president was like, you know, he just pulled the man into his office and, you know, he went on and on and he just, the, the man, the temple president, was like speechless. And this bank president just kept talking, and he says, "Is there anything I can do?" Temple president still was stunned, so the bank president just wrote a check for a large amount of money and gave it to the temple. Right? And he began attending every Sunday, started attending the Sunday program. Right? And then eventually he started reading all the Prabhupada's book, and he gave up because his wife was dead, his children were gone. So he decided to move into the temple. So they gave him the service of being the treasurer. But then the Christmas marathon came. The Christmas marathon came, and he said he wanted to go out on book distribution too. He also wanted to go out on book distribution. He didn't do too bad. He did okay. So he said he didn't want to be the temple president. He didn't want to be the temple treasurer anymore. He just wanted to distribute books. He was in the Sankirtan party. So then, one year, they had a very big festival in Villa Vrindavan in Italy. So all the devotees, Sankirtan devotees from the zone, came there. So he personally searched out Mataji that he had beaten up on his knees with tears in his eyes. She didn't recognize him because he was shaved. He's wondering, what is this brahmachari doing? Why is he like? And then he explained that he was the one who beat her. He's the one who threw her off the train. And he begged for forgiveness. Of course, she was so stunned, completely shocked about how. Of course, she forgave him, but she was so surprised at how this person had become so transformed. You know, such a rare thing that somebody who had become so inimical, he actually beat her, destroyed the book, jumped up and down on it, and yet he became not only a devotee, he became a book distributor himself. This is the potency of Srila Prabhupada's books. This is the potency of that Srila Prabhupada has. He's not an ordinary person. So it's one thing to glorify Srila Prabhupada. He said that anybody can speak nicely about their guru. Guru bhaktas are there everywhere. But action speaks louder than words. We should act, not just talk. Somebody may talk the talk, but do they walk the walk? Do they actually put into practice? So we have to take the example of Srila Prabhupada. He was totally dedicated to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He heard that Bhakti Siddhanta was very interested in books. The books was the most important thing. So he became, and Bhakti Siddhanta instructed him to write in English, to preach in English. That is why he was always Prabhupada was always interested in books. What is the book publications? The books are being published. What is the book scores? On his deathbed, the only thing which enlivened Srila Prabhupada was what is the book scores? How many books? This was better than any medicine. If he heard that books were being distributed profusely, he was enlivened. Gave him life. This gave him life. So books were essential to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is there in his books and also in his recorded conversations. I mentioned his recorded conversations. They are all there for everyone. I don't know. People may have his books, but not so many people may have his recorded conversations in the form of MP3s. They're very easily available. Over 1,300 hours of lectures, room conversations, morning walks, darshans, everything is there. And they are very, if you think the books are mystical, the tapes are even more mystical. Yeah, of course, we don't distribute the tapes too often, the recordings too often, but they are also very mystical. One time, I was moving. I had a deadline. So I didn't have time to chant my japa. I had to just get up, pack, and go to sleep, get up, pack, go to sleep. But I was listening to 12 or 15 lectures a day, just continuously, one after the other. Now normally if I miss one day of rounds, I feel terrible. I had missed about 10 days of rounds because I didn't have any, I had a deadline, I had to move out of my flat, you know. But I felt so good. I was just thinking this. I'm feeling so good. And I'm thinking, why do I feel so good? At that very moment, on the tape that I was listening to, Srila Prabhupada said, the words of the Guru is Krishna speaking to you. So my question was answered. That is why I'm feeling so good. Because Krishna is speaking to me. Srila Prabhupada's words will clear your insanity. We're all insane. Once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada in the rose garden behind the Los Angeles temple, what is the definition of insanity? And Prabhupada said, the sum total of all stupidity. So, if you would just listen to Srila Prabhupada speak, then he will clear all the stupidity from our brain. All the stupidity from our brain. And many devotees had, you know, experiences of how Srila Prabhupada acted. One of my godbrothers, a good friend of mine, Mahabodhi, said when before he was initiated, he went to see Srila Prabhupada. He was going to test Srila Prabhupada. He had certain questions he was going to ask Srila Prabhupada. He had five questions he was going to ask Srila Prabhupada. But he never had a chance to ask Srila Prabhupada the question, because in the course of the conversation, Prabhupada answered all the five questions. Then he was like completely sure. He moved into the temple. He joined the Brahmacharya Ashram. Or George Harrison. My older godbrother, the other Shamsundar, he described how he was very, very careful in dealing with George Harrison. Because George Harrison had many bad experiences with, bogus gurus or people. He was a very rich, people always try to use like that. So he was very cautious about asking George Harrison for anything. Didn't want to ask George Harrison for anything. Then one day, Prabhupada told Shamsundar, go ask George Harrison for, I think it was either $10,000 or $20,000, maybe I think it was $18,000, for publishing the Krishna book. So Shamsundar was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I never asked George for nothing, you know? How am I going to do it, you know? So he didn't exactly go directly, but he sort of timed it that they were at a dinner at George Harrison's house in the present Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he then he asked George, Prabhupada wants you to donate for the publishing of the Krishna book. He said, George became very quiet, had a very grave look on his face. He didn't say anything. Suddenly, there was a thunderbolt, a bolt of lightning, and all the lights went out. All the lights went out. And it took several minutes. When the lights came back on, George had a very big smile on his face, and he went looking for his checkbook. And Shamsundar said, what happened? Says, I prayed, Krishna, give me a sign. That I should do this. You got it. So with a smile, he wrote the check. Because Prabhupada wanted that. That's how the Krishna book was originally published. So there are countless, you can go on and on and on. There, you can get from ITV video recordings of devotees explaining their experiences with Srila Prabhupada, how they totally changed their lives. But most people, they were these books. These books are what totally transformed the lives of people who read them. So Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to to read the books. Not just we're not just a he didn't create a business for selling books. He wrote these books, he said, for the atheists, my disciples, to change them. Because he had very great power to transform people. He wanted us not only to read the books, but to live the books, and then to distribute the books. First you read them, then you live them, and then you distribute them. Right? Not just that you distribute them without reading them and without applying them to your life. Because that's why Prabhupada was successful, because he read the works of his guru and the previous acharyas. He said that when he was reading Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, and it said Vyasavi Atmaka Buddhi, that verse Vishwanath Chakrabarti explained that the disciple should make the instruction of his guru his life and soul. Right? And he, Srila Prabhupada, read voraciously all the shastras. And then by reading the shastras, by the sword of knowledge, one becomes detached. Because one time he had a doubt. He developed a doubt about Bhakti Siddhanta. They were in Mayapur. Bhakti Siddhanta gave the instruction to kill a snake. Some cobra was found. So Srila Prabhupada entertained in his heart a doubt about Bhakti Siddhanta. How a sadhu can order the killing of any living entity? So to have such a doubt about one's guru will destroy a person's spiritual life. But how did that doubt get destroyed? Because Prabhupada read. He read. On the order of his guru, he was reading. And he read in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam how Prahlad said to Nrisimhadeva that even the sadhus are happy if a snake or scorpion is killed. So therefore Prabhupada's doubt was removed. Otherwise, if he had had that doubt, how he could dedicate his life to fulfilling Bhakti Siddhanta's order and risk everything and come to America at his very old age, at age 70. At age 70, he risked, because he had such firm faith in Bhakti Siddhanta's order. And if Srila Prabhupada said, if I have any credit, it is that I strictly followed the order of my Guru Maharaj without changing, without addition, without subtraction. So now, this is the beginning of November. Next month is December. Gita Jayanti month. Alright? So what are we going to do? We're going to distribute books. This is Srila Prabhupada's life and soul. Bhakti Siddhanta said, better to take the marble from the temple, sell it, and publish books. So we have to now, if we really are followers of Srila Prabhupada, if we really want to praise him, we will praise him by distributing his books. That will be the real glorification of Srila Prabhupada, is by distributing his books. I was in Delhi last year in the hospital. I spent 11 months in the hospital in Delhi. But last year during the marathon, I became so inspired, even though I was in a very invalid situation, that I wanted to go distribute books. But I thought about, after I thought about it, I said I can't do that. If somebody even touches me, I would be crying in pain, because I had 12 broken bones. I was barely could walk. So, but that didn't stop me. When I went to the doctor's office, I could easily distribute books there, because everybody's in pain, they could understand. It's very easy to convince people in the hospital or in the doctor's office about the misery of life. So, by the time I left Delhi, I distributed about 600 books in hospitals. To my doctors, to nurses, you know. Actually, I just bring cases, cartons of, you know, whole loads of books to doctors. So, even somebody
who had 12 fractures could distribute books. And I was at with Umapati Swami in January. We were at a award giving ceremony for one of the Namahata centers in Delhi, because Delhi totally distributed 350,000 Gitas. 3.5 lakhs Gitas they distributed last year. Not just because they had many temple, the Sant Nagar temple, the Punjabi Bagh temple, plus all the Namahata centers, all together they distributed 2.5 lakhs of books. So we went to one small center and we were distributing awards. And they had distributed, I think, 12,000 Gitas. And there were, grandmothers were there, many people, and they were extremely enthusiastic. And many, I was surprised, over half of the people who I was giving awards to had gotten their first Gita in the previous marathon. In the previous marathon, they got there. They were so transformed by Srila Prabhupada's words that the next year they were out distributing Gitas. So, we know what to do. We should get geared up. The temple authorities are, I'm sure, getting ready for the marathon. Everybody should enlist as good soldiers to distribute these books. So, anybody have any questions, comments? Okay. Who is going to be next? Okay. All right. Okay. So hand the mic over.